is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Empathic Mastery with Jennifer Moore. Jennifer is a healer, teacher, and spiritual mentor for sensitive, intuitive women who need help controlling the empathic overwhelm that keeps them stuck in their life. She helps people break through fear, overcome the past, and claim their intuitive gifts. Please welcome Jennifer back to News for the Soul.
Welcome to the Empathic Mastery Show. I'm your host, Jennifer Moore, and I'm so glad you're here. This is the place where we talk about what it means to be highly sensitive and empathic, how this impacts all aspects of our lives, and we explore tools, resources, and solutions so we can shift from absorbing all the thoughts, feelings, and energy of the world around us to being beacons for calm, love, and healing. So today I am going to be talking about the first step of empathic mastery. This is recognize. And I wanted to talk about this because I find that one of the biggest challenges that comes up for a lot of highly sensitive empathic people is that when asked or offered suggestions about how to deal with our sensitivity, one of the common things we get told is, we get told things like, get over it, you're taking it too personally, don't take it so seriously, suck it up, you know, just let it go, all of that fun stuff. But the other thing, it's a very common thing that I've noticed many of us hear, and when you look for information out there, there's either an oversimplification of just, you know, just don't take it on or just give it back to somebody, or there's also the just, you know, bubble up with light and send love and light to the whole thing and everything will be okay. And what I will say is that in my personal experience and in my travels, the challenge with just putting a whole bunch of love and light up around whatever situation we're talking about is that it does not address what we've already taken on and what we've already absorbed. And so, if you've probably heard me say this before, and I think this analogy bears repeating, which is that in the same way that you can't simply pull a shower curtain around a bathtub filled with dirty bathwater and expect everything to be fine, we cannot just put a ball of light and love up around us and expect that whatever we've taken on already to be okay until we recognize and release the stuff that we are already carrying around. And I'll take this further in saying that in the same way, you've probably heard about the idea that when you have two or more instruments, usually stringed instruments, that have been tuned to a particular note, that when you strum a particular instrument or play the, you know, on like a piano, you play the key of the one note, then all of the other strings that are tuned to that frequency will vibrate as well. So what this means in terms of us as human beings is that whatever is going on in the outside world that mirrors what we feel on the inside is going to cause a resonance within us. And that's one of the reasons why it can be so challenging as highly sensitive empathic people, and really as any kind of human being, when we see things outside of ourselves that are intense, that are painful, that are challenging, that more often than not, there's some aspect within us that is getting pinged by that, that is getting activated by that. And so when we are carrying around trapped emotions, when we are carrying around old events, when we are carrying around a whole bunch of triggers, just putting love and light up around ourselves is not going to stop us from getting activated when we witness something outside of ourselves that resonates with whatever we've already absorbed or we've already experienced. So where there's a lot of training and information out there about psychic development and intuitive development that's all about opening ourselves up more, about being able to receive more information, if there's anything I've noticed for sure about most of the empaths I work with, actually I think I could say all of the empaths I work with, including myself, it is that if there is anything we are challenged by, it is not getting information. It's actually about discerning and processing information, dealing with the information, and dealing with information overload. Our challenge is rarely about being able to understand, is it rarely about being able to pick up information. Our challenge is more often than not about the fact that we are struggling with TMI, too much information. So in Empathic Mastery, my book, which you can go and grab a copy over at empathicmasterybook.com if you're in the United States, and if that will take you over to Amazon, and if you happen to be in another country, then just search for Empathic Mastery in your country and or on your country's Amazon page, and you can find a copy of it there. Anyway, as I was saying, in my book, Empathic Mastery, I talk about the five steps of empathic mastery, of really learning how to manage what it means to be highly sensitive empathic in the world. The first step is recognize. The second step is release. The third step, the love and light step, is protect. That's when we start putting up our filters and shields. That's when we start consciously looking at the strategies for setting boundaries, for setting limits, for recognizing what we are willing to take responsibility for, what is our job, what is our work, versus what is really the stuff we need to just walk away from and let go of. And then the fourth step is connect, because in my experience, the best way to stay protected, the best way to keep energy flowing in a positive direction, is by connecting with a power greater than ourselves, filling ourselves with divine source, connection to divine source. Because once we are filled, you've heard that saying, the universe abhors a vacuum. So just releasing negative energy is only the first step. In terms of this mastery and this shift, we need to fill ourselves up with positive energy and be in the flow in order to really sustain our empathic safety. And then the fifth step is act, because as my old first magical teacher always used to say, his name was Just Dave, he'd say, words without works is dead. And that be the true, that it's like we can think about this all we want, but until we act in different ways, until we change the way we approach our life, then we are going to only get so far. You've heard that old saying, which I think some people attribute to Einstein, which is insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And so when it comes to really living in a new way, we need to act in a new way as well. And just to let you know, next episode, I'm actually going to be talking about the ethics of being a responsible empath, and I'm going to be sharing the ethical agreements that are laid out in my book when in the chapter ACT. So that's coming up in 2 weeks. And by the way, just to let you know, this is the second to last episode here on the News for the Soul platform, which would be called the penultimate episode. And I have a funny little story to share before I get into the whole aspect of recognize that we're going to be focusing on today. And that is to say, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having a word that you think you know the meaning of, and it turns out you're using it completely incorrectly. Well, penultimate is that word for me. For many years, I imagined that the word penultimate represented like the ultimate of ultimates, the thing that just exceeds, like it's just the ultimate. And I was having a conversation a couple years ago around actually Game of Thrones with my husband, and there was the penultimate episode that was coming up, and I sort of made some comment and about penultimate, and he said, you know that means second to last. And I was like, no. And he was like, yeah. And so I discovered that penultimate actually means second to last, that it is not the ultimate. It is the thing before the ultimate. So I don't know if you've ever had that experience of a word that you learn you're using incorrectly. It's kind of funny and humbling at the same time. So this is the penultimate episode in the truest meaning of the word, the penultimate episode for my here over here on News for the Soul. And I just want to make a shout out to Nicole and to all of the people over here on News for the Soul and say thank you so much for giving me this opportunity and for creating such a wonderful platform where such amazing work is being done and offered to this world. And I'm going to be taking a sabbatical for a while. I've got an audiobook to record and am looking at returning in the new year. So for more information and to learn, to stay tuned and just stay current, you can head on over to empathicmasteryshow.com and sign up to keep updated. Okay, enough of all that. I want to talk about recognize. So, as I was saying, the first step of empathic mastery is recognize. And when it comes to recognize, there is a fundamental, level in recognize of first we have to just even recognize that we are feeling something, that we are distressed, that something is going on for us. And sometimes you'd be surprised how it can take a little while to recognize that we're feeling off, that we're feeling out of sorts. An analogy I would use is, how many times have you like been so invested or so immersed in something that you don't even realize that you're hungry, or you don't even realize that you're cold, or you don't even realize that you like have been needing to go to the bathroom for the last hour and a half? And in a lot of ways, because we do get so focused on just day-to-day life, and especially if we are accustomed to kind of carrying around a level of low-grade distress all the time, it can actually take a moment or two, or even sometimes take upwards of a few days or longer, to start to recognize that we are feeling out of sorts, that there is something going on for us. So the first piece of recognize is starts with recognizing that something's going on for us and starting to be able to identify what we are actually feeling, identify whether we are feeling something on a physical level, whether we're feeling something on an emotional level, whether we're feeling something on a mental level, where we've got a lot of stuff going on in terms of our thoughts and our feelings. And just starting to just dial into, how do I feel? What is going on for me? What am I experiencing right now? So that's the first sort of stage of recognize, is just even the acknowledgement of what we're experiencing and that something is going on for us. And then from there comes the aspect of really dialing in, what's actually going on here? What am I feeling? And that starts to be about recognizing what's mine, what's not mine, what's my job, what's not my job, what do I, and what can I do about this? So I wanted to talk with you about a flowchart that I created specifically for my book, and it's a flowchart that's the Recognize flowchart. And I'm including a link for it in the show notes over here at empathicmasteryforthesoul.com. You can go and grab the PDF from empathicmasteryforthesoul.com over in the archive section where you find the show notes for this particular episode. So you can track down and find a copy of this guide that I'm going to be talking about. But obviously, I'm talking and I'm looking at something, so I'm going to start describing this to you. Basically, I created a flowchart that breaks down all of the different places and ways that we can be picking things up in the world. And so it starts at the very bottom with the question of mine, not mine. And on one level, that may sound like a really simple question. Is this mine? Is this not mine? The thing is, in my experience, more often than not, the answer is both and. That a lot of times, one of the reasons why, as highly sensitive empathic people, we can get so jangled by the energies that are going on in the world around us is because we have our own unreconciled stuff that gets activated when we are in the presence of something similar. And then it gets amplified by the stuff that we are picking up and taking on from the world around us. So what I will say in my experience and in my travels and work with other highly sensitive empathic people is that the more work we do on releasing our trapped emotions, on releasing the difficult past events that have happened to us, on releasing our ancestral legacies and the family agreements and the limiting beliefs and all of that stuff that is often buried in our energy body and that we're carrying around in our subconscious, that as we start to clear the energetic congestion on those things, we then become more able to acknowledge what's going on from the world outside of us and allow it to flow as opposed to having it ring our bells. And so what I will say is that there's a very strong correlation between as above, so below, as within, so without. And as we work on our own stuff, it gives us freedom to be able to hold space and compassion for the suffering and the pain that we witness in the world around us without drowning in it. So the first step is this recognizing mine, not mine. And within that, when we start to recognize the parts that are ours, and we start to recognize where things are still stuck for us, then we have the opportunity to decide to do some work on it. Now, as you know, I am a huge fan of using tapping and other energy healing modalities for shifting energy within us. The two, you know, I absolutely, EFT has been one of the most life-changing methods I have ever used in my life, and I am truly a happier, healthier, more joyful, thriving person, and a more resilient person because of emotional freedom technique. And I would highly recommend that this as a technique that you can really use if we as empaths, I think, are just made for this. Another technique that I'm really loving and that I've been really appreciating a great deal is emotion code, which is a technique that uses intention and muscle testing or dowsing to dial in what's really going on, and then using magnets to clear the places where the energy, the emotion has gotten distorted and trapped. So there's also working with flower essences. There's also working in, doing embodied work, movement, yoga, even working with other, massage therapists, energy healers, doing shamanic work, working with aromatherapy, and of course, prayer and meditation. There are all kinds of ways that we can work, as well as ceremony and ritual and just even journaling and writing. It's almost like as many possible ideas as are out there are ways that we can work through things. So, as I said, the first step, and if you were looking at this chart with me right now, you would see that at the very bottom is a box that says mine, and a box on the other, a box to the right of it that says not mine, and then recognize is sort of above that. Now, on a tier or a level, the next level up from this mine, not mine, is place, time, and experience. Because what I have found is that when it comes to what are we picking up on, what are we recognizing, that there is sort of the aspect of the actual physical location, that there is like how this experience, how this emotion relates to us within space. But then there's also time, which has to do with when is this. So place is where. Where is this coming from? Time is when is this coming from? Is this coming from the past? Is this coming from the present? Is this coming from the future? And when it comes to place, is this something that is personal? Is this something, or is this something that is global? And certainly there is a very, very wide swath between that. So within place, where are we picking this up from? And like I said, often this is going to be both and, where there's a part of ourselves that's gotten triggered or activated, and then there is also a part of us that is picking up on something substantially larger. So, like, for example, back when the tsunamis were happening, oh goodness, now quite a while ago, I just remember feeling incredibly, and they were like over in Thailand, I was feeling incredibly agitated and disrupted by that energy. So I'm here on the East Coast in New England of the USA, and halfway across the planet, there's this event happening, and I am feeling it. Now, with the whole coronavirus event that's going on, plus the Black Lives Matter movement that's going on, there is a lot of global unrest. There is a lot of distress that is going on the planet right now. And it is coming from many, 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 many different places. And what I am seeing is that this means that many people who were not necessarily aware of their empathic abilities, many people who up to this point have been kind of able to kind of go about their own business, are suddenly getting bombarded by all the thoughts, the feelings, the energy, the sensations, the worries, the concerns, the everything that is going on in the world around us. And so in many ways, right now, we are at this, the magnitude of what we are picking up globally is substantially bigger, I think, than it has been in a very, very long time. So a lot of times, it, again, doesn't necessarily mean that it's only global or it's only personal. It's often the both and. But within that personal versus global, there's also the rings of connection. There's us, there's our extended family. So am I picking this up from what's going on in my extended or in my immediate family, like within my household? So there's me, then there's the household and the people that I'm living with. Then there's the neighborhood that I'm in. Then there's the, and my circle of friends and family who are sort of not living with me, but that I have those connections to, so I'm more sensitive to them. And then beyond that, we start branching into our local community, our local area, then state area, regional area, and then starting to break into, you know, larger regions, country, continent, aspects or areas, entire areas of the planet, entire planet, and some people would even say then starting to get into solar system and universe. So identifying place, the where is this coming from, is a very useful piece. Then time, when. Now, when it comes to time, again, this can be a both and. But fundamentally, we can break time down into past, present, and future. And so for many of us, as highly sensitive, empathic people, we can be picking up on things that are going on in the present, but that are triggering and stimulating stuff that is coming from the past. And then also we can be picking up on or sensing things that are coming from that are coming from the future, or that we are sensing in the future. And what I will say is that in my experience, when an event is really, really significant, it has a way of almost like if you dropped a boulder into a lake, the ripples would extend out very far. And what I've seen is that ripples, when an event is really significant, the ripples extend into the past and into the future. And so the ripples or the consequences of something can be felt in advance of something very significant. And so a lot of times those of us who are really sensitive will be feeling something before it happens, sort of like the rumbling under the ground before an earthquake comes, where, you know, there's those stories of like the animals where they can feel the earthquake coming under their feet, even though it hasn't necessarily shown up yet. And so that is something that I find for those of us who are highly sensitive and empathic happens often, is that we can sense and pick up on the energy that is that has of the event in the future. And I will say, I believe that the future is not fixed, but that in the same way that you can have sort of branches of a tree or, you know, streams in a river, there are dominant streams and more likely outcomes. And when something's very significant, it has a tendency, I think, to almost sort of overshadow the other possible realities. And choice and free will is still an aspect of what actually will happen in the future. So, and I also want to just throw out sort of a caveat or a kind of a commentary right now in regards to the future. And that is, right now, as I am recording this episode, you know, we are in the middle of a spike with coronavirus here in the United States. The pandemic is escalating in many places. And what's happening is that, and there's just this incredible divisiveness going on between politically, just, I mean, I don't need to tell you what's going on, you know. The thing about this is that right now, there are a lot of people who are really uncertain. There's a lot of fear about the future. There's a lot of worry. What's coming next? And what is happening is that that means that a lot of amateurs, a lot of muggles are dipping their toe in the waters of the timelines, that they are sometimes not just dipping their toe in it, but they're wading in the timelines. And so I've been sort of saying, right now is not a good time to be looking forward into the future. Right now, it's sort of like, you know, we're talking about a pool of water or a river of water where there's just a lot of activity and the dust is getting, or the silt at the bottom of the pond is getting stirred up right now. And, you know, it's kind of like there's a bunch of kids peeing in the pool. So now is not the time to be looking down the timelines because they are distorted. There is a great deal of projection going into them right now. There's a great deal of fear going into them. And there is basically that level of uncertainty and that level of emotional investment in what the outcome is makes it very hard to see beyond it. And so I just really want to encourage you to not try to figure out what's coming next as much as really just come back to this moment right here and right now. Now, certainly, sometimes you may have a glimpse, you may have a sense of something coming. That is a different thing. But to actively go and try to foresee the future, not necessarily a swift idea right now, just because there are so many, it's just like there's so many people attempting to do this at the moment. So, talking about the when of time. Is this coming from the past? And in the case of the past, we can be talking about an event that is, we can be talking about an event that is karmic, that is coming from a past life for us. We can be talking about an event or an experience that is ancestral, that we've inherited within our DNA, that is affecting us, that we're carrying forward. More and more information is showing up that is confirming that we pass our trauma from one generation to the next. And so just because we don't know anything about what our ancestors went through doesn't mean we're not affected by what our ancestors went through. So there's that aspect of the energetic as well as the biological, the physical events or trauma or and conditioned responses that we inherit from our ancestors. And then there's also in the past the historic events that can be affecting us. And so looking at in the timelines, where is this coming from? Is this my karma? Is this something that's getting, like, for example, one of the things that I started to experience back in March when coronavirus really started to expand in the United States was I started having glimpses and glimmers of past life recall of times during the bubonic plague and just remembering what that felt like. And so at first I was feeling deeply affected by this whole sort of oncoming train because it really reminded me of another time. And when I started to work on those past life memories and release the trauma from that time, I found that I was able to navigate this time with a lot more grace and ease than I was able to before. So that's an example of how karma can be affecting something that is going on in the present moment. Ancestrally, this would be an example of an event that is affecting us. Now, I will say that so frequently for many women in particular, events that have happened to our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers can deeply affect us now. So, for example, loss of a child in childbirth, or sexual trauma, those being two of the major things that often will get carried forward. Or if somebody is coming from, and a history of abuse and slavery, all of these events are carried forward. And so when these things have happened to our ancestors, and particularly when it's never been reconciled, where it's never been resolved, where there is then no restitution, a lot of times that wound is something that is still active within us. And it can really amplify our feelings in the present moment. And then, as I mentioned, historic is usually both sort of maybe our personal relationship to the historic event, our ancestral relationship to the historic event. So, for example, the relationship to the Holocaust for many people with Jewish ancestry, the experience, or other kinds of like Romani people, all of the people who have been affected by an event. And I'm just using the Holocaust as an example of an historic event that then also will have ancestral connections that affect us as well. Or it can be an event we don't really have any personal or ancestral connection to, but just that is so large and significant that it is something that really has been just rocked our world. For example, World War II was an example of an event that really significantly affected our planet, and that historic, that those wounds are still resonating, reverberating even to this day. Okay, so past. Present is all about, you know, what's going on. And within the present, what I have found is that there is the what's really actually occurring in the present moment, an event that is going on that we are picking up on, that we are sensing, that we are experiencing. There's then the fantasy. There's the what we are taking on from the standpoint of our own imagination, our own projections. You know, I use the term awfulizing, and the idea of our capacity to awfulize and imagine worst case scenarios. And so sometimes, and an example I'll use is many years ago, a person I knew, their kid had gone out to party with friends for the night and basically just blew off responding to texts, blew off calling back, blew off doing anything. And so at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, their kid still wasn't home. And this person was visualizing, imagining, they were 100% sure that their kid was dead in a ditch somewhere. And the thing was, this was completely fantasy. This was not reality. This was their fear awfulizing and creating an image. And about 9 or 10 o'clock the next morning, the kid shows up completely intact without a scratch. So the challenge of the present moment, and even sometimes our premonitions, our visions, our sense of things, it can be, sometimes it's real, sometimes even as highly sensitive empathic people, it's our stuff that is the lens or the filter that we're seeing things through. And I will go back to saying that in my experience, that the best way to learn how to discern what's mine, what's not mine, what's my fantasy, what's reality, comes from doing the work to release our own emotional reactivity and our trapped emotions that are affecting the way we perceive things. Because a lot of times what happens is that whatever age we were when something happened, and whenever we basically went into reaction and fight or flight mode, that's the age of the part of our brain that starts interpreting everything else. And so when it comes to a stressful situation, you can probably easily imagine that we're going to do a whole lot better with our adult self being basically behind the wheel as opposed to our traumatized, triggered 5-year-old behind the wheel. And the thing is, the perspective of that 5-year-old is not as nuanced, is not as aware, is not as able to understand and grasp the magnitude of an entire situation, and often will form conclusions about the world based on a five-year-old's perspective. And so the challenge with this is that when we are experiencing distress, and then our sort of our triggered inner child starts to be the one who interprets everything, our capacity to understand what's really going on gets deeply affected by the age of the part of us that is triggered and interpreting it. So releasing the distress through tapping, through prayer, through meditation, through flower essences, through energy work, like I said, through system, you know, through what you find works best for you, that by releasing those trapped emotions and releasing the events that are still jangling us, that are still, you know, yanking our chain, then we have an ability to see things with resilience and with clarity that we do not have when we are activated, when we are awfulizing. The other place where our experience can be happening, or where things can be happening, is sort of in the, for lack of a better word, the dream time. In, or another idea would be sort of within the energetic matrix, within the field of infinite potential, that there is that sort of, that the or as Jung would put it, the collective unconscious. And that is a place where there's a lot of times it's a lot more amorphous, it's a lot more slippery, it can be more challenging to pick up on what is this really about. So again, you know, we're really looking at, is this actually occurring? Is this something that I'm projecting on, or I'm adding my own twist to? Am I picking up on something that's sort of in the greater unconscious? Where is this coming from? And when we're talking about looking at, you know, time, we've just talked about past, we've talked about present, and now we're just going to talk a little bit about future. So as I, you know, this idea of when something is really significant, there can be a dominant stream and a more likely outcome. This is how I personally regard the future, is that it's not set in stone, and free will and choice will always impact the future. However, there are likely outcomes, there are dominant outcomes, in the same way that a weather forecaster can look at the likely patterns of the weather and say, it's very likely that this is where the storm is going to go. Because from the trajectory, from the data, from what we see now, this is the predicted outcome. And sometimes it will do exactly what we expect. And sometimes, you know, a butterfly's wings will flap on the other side of the world, and suddenly the hurricane that we expected to, you know, make landfall on, you know, somewhere in New Orleans or something, goes out to sea instead. And that is the same, and in the same way that the future works. At least that's what I believe and have seen. So when it comes to the future, there's this amorphousness to it, in the sense that it's not necessarily set in stone, but we are feeling what is the most likely thing. And so when it comes to the future, we can be picking up on something in the same way that I was talking about the fantasy of it within a present moment of what's going on, that my kid, I'm sure of it, my kid is dead in a ditch, that when it comes to the future, there can be our projections. There can be our projections, both our hopeful projections and also our fearful projections, our awfulizing. There's also our intuition, our sense of something. It's generally, and in my experience, a projection is usually very emotionally fraught. A projection is usually something that can really yank, you know, like ring our bell and yank our chain. intuition is often a much calmer, clearer sense of something, where it's just kind of a passing flash of, oh, this is a possibility, without necessarily going into a state of gripping terror about it. Or even, you know, if it's something lovely and wonderful, we don't generally have as much of an emotional reaction, in my experience, when it comes to intuition. And then we can also have premonitions and precognition, and where something is so dominant, is so likely, that we're feeling the ripples coming back in time and affecting us. And the precognition and the premonitions can actually feel pretty intense. They can, but what I would say is, in my experience, precognitions and premonition have a tendency to come in the form of, you may have sort of vision, you may have sort of a felt sense, knowledge of something, you may be experiencing even a deep sense of embodied distress about this. Certainly an example in my life, in my experience, was about a week before 9/11, I was just absolutely beside myself with distress. I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't identify where it was coming from. And part of what made me know that I was taking on something, that something was going on that was outside of me, was because there was nothing in my life that correlated with my sense of distress. And about a week later, 9/11 happened, and I went, oh, that was what I was feeling. In my experience, the boundary or the distinction between precognition, premonitions, which can be intense, and projection, is that in my experience, projection tends to be much more heady, where there's a lot more perseverating, where there's a lot more sort of obsessing about something, going over the thought again and again and again. There's a lot more worrying, whereas precognition and premonition, in my experience, tends to be more embodied, that it tends to just be, it can be distress, but not necessarily the same kind of, like, your head is just going to town on it. So, talking about this idea of past, present, and future, and what it means to recognize within all of these different places and times. So, wow, just looked at the time, and I have just been downloading a whole bunch of information for you. I can't believe we're coming towards the top of the hour with this show. And so I just wanted to continue to talk about the other aspects of where is this coming from. And so within this, there's also, as I was saying, there's place, which is the where, there's time, which is the when, and then there's experience, which is the what. And when it comes to the experience, this can be a physical experience about things that we are picking up on from the world around us. It can also be a mental experience, and it can also be emotional. So there's, you know, within place, we've got the, it's personal, it's local, it's global. Within time, there's past, present, and future. And then in experience, it is physical, emotional, and mental. So, as well as, you could argue, spiritual as well. And so from the sense of experience, we are then looking at, on a physical level, is this something that I am picking up on in an environment that's environmental, that is a larger, greater distress? Is this something that is going on in my own physical body, my own health? So, for example, a lot of highly sensitive empathic people can be taking on feelings or can be impacted by foods that we eat, by fragrances we inhale. I cannot begin to tell you the number of times I have had conversations with people about the impact of smart meters and EMFs, and how much the electromagnetic frequencies can really jangle us and can affect us. And then even the physical experience of material things. You know, there's just like the impact of even objects in our presence and around us that we are sensitive to. You know, I don't know if you've ever had that experience of picking up an object and getting a download or getting a reading on something that you're holding in your hand. So there's a whole bunch of different places where on a physical level we can be picking things up. Then on an emotional level, there is our relationships and our relational stuff that can be, I'm sensing something coming from another person, I'm feeling their sadness, I'm feeling their distress, I am feeling their unspoken issues. There's our personal triggers, the stuff that's going on inside of us that we are carrying around. And then there's also our sort of our response to something. How are we dealing with it? And so just really looking at, again, is this emotional coming from outside of us, a relationship, about a relationship? Is it about something that's buried underneath the surface or something that's from the past that is a trigger that is happening? Or is it a genuine sort of present response to something that's going on? And then in terms of mental, there's whatever our thoughts and our perceptions, like what are we perceiving this as? How are we perceiving it? How are we interpreting it? Also, what are the rules and beliefs that we have been taught about something, that we have been taught is the way things work? Because so frequently we are seeing things through a lens or through a filter, even if we are not completely aware of that. And then there's also what is imagined, what is projected, what is created within ourselves. So this is obviously a very complex thing. The more I talk about this, I hope, the more clearly I am conveying how many different factors contribute to what are we recognizing, what are we taking on, and why discerning what I am thinking, feeling, absorbing can be rather complicated, because it's not necessarily just one thing. More often than not, it's a confluence of things. It is a perfect storm. It is a collective where we are experiencing things coming from multiple different places and times and experiences. So, recognize is the first step, starting to identify what am I picking up, what's mine, what's not mine, what is my responsibility to address and to clear, and what is stuff that is really not about me and that the best thing I can do is give it back, you know? And where do we go from here? So obviously this chart is a fairly complicated and complex idea and concept. And like I said, you can access, if you jump on over to the show notes at empathicmasteryforthesoul.com, there will be a link to the chart there. And also, if you go over to empathicmasteryshow.com, a link to the chart will be included when you go and you download your empathic sensitivity guide, which, hey, if you go over there, you can access that as well. So we're coming to the top of the hour, and this is a topic that is dear to my heart. I feel very deeply and passionately about it, and I am running out of time to talk about it for now. Next episode, I'm going to be coming back and talking again about empathic mastery, and I'm going to be going into the agreements of the responsible empath. So where we're starting talking about recognize, next episode we're going to be talking about ways to act as a responsible empath. Now, obviously, there's a lot of content, there's a lot of material, there's a lot of information between recognize and act. As a matter of fact, there's three steps between it: recognize, release, protect, connect, and act. So we've talked about Recognize today, and we'll be talking about ACT in 2 weeks. If you are interested in learning more about the book, if you are interested in or learning more about Empathic Mastery, right now, the book is during the entire time of the pandemic, during quarantine and lockdown here in the United States, I am making the ebook available for 55% off. So you can go and download the ebook over at empathicmasterybook.com for 55% off. And you can also buy a copy of the hard copy of the book at empathicmasterybook.com for 20% off. And I have the special offer going for the entire duration of the quarantine, because we need all hands on deck right now, and we need every one of us to be doing the work. So I'm coming to the top of the hour. It has been a delight to be sharing this information with all of you. And until next time, I am wishing you peace, I'm wishing you ease, and I'm wishing you grace in releasing the stuff that is no longer serving you. So catch me in 2 weeks here on News for the Soul Empathic Mastery Show. And until then, I am sending you so much love. Okay. One more time, jump over to empathicmasteryshow.com to download your own copy of the Empathic Sensitivity Guide and a copy of this flowchart, and then come back in 2 weeks for the ultimate show.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.